I want to start off with a question to the adults. I'm sorry, kids. I don't think you guys are going to be able to answer this one. If you want, you can, but raise your hand if you've ever had a leak in your house. Oh, that's a lot of hands. That's concerning. If there's any plumbers in the room, we're a gold mine, apparently. So I had a leak. I broke the main water line into my house not long ago. It was about a couple weeks before I got married. And I think I've told this story in here before, but I had hose bibs on the front and back of my house. And the front one leaked really bad. And it was also like broken and cut up. Every time you'd turn the water on, you'd like lacerate your hand. And as a single male, it was fine for me to lacerate my hand. I don't really care about my hand, but I was getting married. And so wife cannot do that. So I had to change it out. So I go to Lowe's, I get two hose bibs. I go to the front of the house, change it out, 10 minutes. Goes as planned, perfectly great. I go to the back of the house, and I start kind of cranking on it, and the bib is really, really tight, and so I'm going, and then it finally gives, and I'm like, great, cool. But then I go to loosen it, and the whole pipe turns, and if you do plumbing, you know that's a problem. So I run to the front of my house, and water is just pouring out of my garage as I had snapped both pipes below the cutoff, so I had to shut off my water at the street and fix it, and it was terrible. But we don't really think about pipes when they're working. When the pipes in our walls are working, when we have no problems, it's great. We trust that water is going to come out of our faucet. When we turn it on, we trust that we're going to have clean water. But when they break, our whole life slowly begins to fall apart because water is very, very important to us. And I think our relationships kind of function the same way. Season 6, episode 1 of The Office. You all know how much I love The Office. It's titled Gossip. And Michael gets left out of a little bit of gossip that's happening in the office. And he feels really hurt, and he feels concerned. So he feels the need to start his own gossip. So he starts making up things about people in the office. And, of course, two of them end up being true. And he doesn't know that they're true. And so in this moment, he decides to pull Dwight into his office, and he goes, hey, I need to tell you this. I shouldn't tell you this, but... And Dwight kind of cuts him off, and he says a line. It's not a line that's highlighted in the show. The writers didn't put it in there to be funny or anything. But he says, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but. And Dwight says, then don't. And I've always loved that line. I've always loved that line. And, of course, it's The Office, so Michael goes on to tell him everything instead of stopping. But we hear that same line a lot in our lives. We hear, I shouldn't tell you this, but. And we go, ooh, tell me more. We lean in. We don't say then don't. We love to hear other people's stuff. Love to hear gossip. Love to hear what's going on in other people's life. The 411, the tea, the hot gossip. We listen into other people's drama and other people's mistakes. And the problem is that when we're listening, someone's telling. And sometimes we're the ones telling. We love to tell other people's stories to let their problems live in our world. We leak. And we do it for a couple reasons. The first is sometimes we need to elevate ourselves. Sometimes we've got a lot of stuff going on in our life, and our life's really messy, and we don't really want to talk about the mess in our life, so we talk about a mess in their life over there because it's not my mess, and we can still talk about it, and it makes me feel a little bit better. Sometimes we tell other people's stories because people are listening. And we like when people are listening. We like having a story to tell. So we continue to talk and continue to tell. And what we're going to find today as we go through this series, Love Better, is we're going to find that love doesn't leak. Love holds things in. Love allows us to trust, to not think about it, to be able to share our story without concern of it going somewhere else, without it leaking. Because when it leaks, it hurts. It makes a mess. And today we're going to be talking about bears. And I want to tell you guys my favorite type of bear. My favorite type of bear is a black bear. And it's for a couple of reasons. The first is the thought that I think every male has had in this room. And it's, I'm going to start with a fact, and it's the average female black bear weighs 175 pounds, which means a small female black bear weighs about 150 pounds. And if I weigh more than you, I can beat you up, right? Like, you all have had this thought where if I had to wrestle an animal, yeah, you're laughing. I see it. Brad thinks he can beat up a bear, guys. So we've all had this thought, though. Like, if I weigh more than you, if I had to wrestle a deadly animal, I'm picking a black bear. Don't worry, guys. I know I can't beat up a black bear. I'm weak. But I do love black bears. The real reason is they're really cute. Has anybody seen black bear, like, up close and personal, not at a zoo? Yeah, they've got those domey ears, that little nose. I mean, they are adorable. And Kirsten and I have been uber blessed, uber lucky to see many, many black bears in the wild, most of them at Cades Cove. Does anybody know what Cades Cove is? Yeah, so you know that that's cheating. But we saw 22 black bears one day at Cades Cove. If you've never been, you should go home and Google it and take your family. It is incredible to see all kinds of wildlife and things like that. We did walk up on a tiny baby black bear on a hike once. It was so cute. We heard this little stick break to the right of us, and we look over and see this little black bear crawling along. And then we pooped our pants because we were scared that a mama bear was going to come and kill us. It didn't. I'm still here, which is good. But unfortunately for today, bears doesn't mean cute, fluffy animal that should 100% be my best friend and my pet. Today, for the word bear means to cover closely. To cover closely, to hold together. And we've been going through 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, where we break down each word in 1 Corinthians 13. And today we're looking at the word that traditionally would be read, love bears all things. We're going to see how love supports our friendships. It doesn't flood our friendships. And so here's how it reads in most of our translations today. It says, it is love. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Trusts, hopes, perseveres, we're going to cover in the next 3 weeks. But today we're hanging on to love always protects. Love bears all things. And as we said, in the original language, in the Greek, this means to cover closely, to support. And this word was often used in talking about water containers that either didn't let water in or didn't let water out. A container that bared. It held the liquid in. And our relationships are supposed to do the same thing. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians because the church was divided. People were trying to elevate themselves above other people and say their spiritual gifts were greater, and they weren't sharing their burdens. They were pulling each other down. And Paul's saying love holds things together. It doesn't leak. It doesn't let things through. And as we dive into our main scripture today in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to focus in on a key word that I think is really the hinge point on how to love better, how to bear all things in our conversation today. So we're going to be in Philippians 2, starting right at the top in verse 1, and here's what it says. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. I love how this starts out. 1 Corinthians, all about healing division. Philippians here is talking about unity, how to come together, how to be one. And so he says, how to be in the same love of one mind, one spirit, let me tell you how. And so Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, and here's the word we want to focus in on today, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. Paul's saying, be humble, be equal with each other, value other people more than you value yourself. And Christ did the same thing, and here's how he did it. And he said, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So being God wasn't something he could use to just trample over us. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he, and there's this word again, humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. I think that key word, humility, is where our conversation for loving better hinges today. Humility is defined by a quick Google search as lowering one's importance. Lowering one's importance. And we're going to go a little backwards today. Paul wrote Philippians as he talked about us and then Christ. We're going to talk about Christ and then us. But he says it beautifully that in the very nature of God, in God's nature, Christ was equal with God, and he did not see this as a reason to take advantage, to use this for his own advantage. So Christ didn't see his power, he didn't see his position as a reason to take advantage of us. Rather, Christ gave up that position and the power of sitting in heaven, the throne he sat on, to come down and live as a man, to live as us, to be made in human likeness, to be one of us for a little bit. He humbled himself, lowered himself, by not only giving up that position and coming down to earth, but by dying on the cross for you and me. Christ showed humility to the fullest extent when he died on the cross. Now, I don't think Paul is saying everyone needs to go get crucified and die on a cross to be humble. I think what he was saying is, hey, we need a lot of focus on this humility word. We need to focus on being humble. And Christ led by example. Here's how he did it. He died on the cross and lived on earth as a man. And when he did that, he acted completely out of selflessness, not selfishness. Christ was completely selfish when he came down and lived here, instead of being selfish. See, sometimes I think when we look at how love bears all things, we miss the mark because we're looking out for our own personal gain. We're looking out for what we can get out of it. Let's look at what Paul has to say to us, though. Let's go back to the top. He says, make my joy complete by being like-minded in one spirit and one mind. Be together and do nothing out of selfish ambition, but humbly value others above yourself. And I think we should underline that, circle it, tap it on your YouVersion. If you tap it, it'll highlight it. And I think we should do that because that's the challenge for us today. Because when we live humbly, love doesn't leak. When we live humbly, love doesn't leak. To bear all things, to protect, love protects, rarely means physical. We're not talking about fighting other people, though there might be some strange, obscure reason that that might come up. But what we're talking about here, when it says love protects, love bears all things, is we're talking about each other's stories. We're talking about our lives. We're talking about our hurts, our pains, our victories. Because, and here's how we say it at the Cove, we have a very key phrase. It's we're in this together. Love is in this together. It protects. It holds the story in. It holds the life in. It holds us together. It supports our friends. It doesn't flood our friends. It supports our relationships. It doesn't flood our relationships. See, and here's where we see this, is when somebody comes and tells us something exciting. They tell us, you know, about the kid that's on the way. They tell us about the wedding. They tell us about the job they got, the promotion, all these things. Sometimes we want to go and share their story without their permission. But it's their story, not yours. And more often we see it in tragedy. When someone is hurting, they're in pain, and they come to us to get love and support, and they tell us about their divorce, they tell us about their addiction, they tell us about the sin they're living in, the relational issues, the teachers they're butting heads with, the bosses they can't get through to. And 1 Corinthians says that when they tell us those stories, it holds it in. That love holds that in. Love doesn't let it out. Love lets people tell their story instead of you telling it for them. And here's why humility is so important. When we share someone else's story, we care more about what their story offers us than helping them through their situation. When we tell someone else's story, when they share their burdens with us and we go blab it out to someone else, we care more about what their story offers us than helping them through their situation. There's a reason that we had to be commanded in Philippians to value others over ourselves in humility. So often we look at someone else in their life, their story, their victories, their successes, and we ask, how can that benefit me? What can I do to get something out of this? How does this benefit me? We got to set aside the gossip, the slander, the selfishness, and look toward the selflessness and understand that love doesn't leak. It keeps things in. And the opposite of humility is selfishness. To love better, we have to set aside what we want from people and look how to help people. Because that's what Jesus did to us. You know what Jesus wanted in creation? Jesus wanted righteousness. He wanted Garden of Eden. He wanted perfection. And he had to put the tree in the garden so that we could love, because love requires choice. And you know what we chose to do? We chose not to love him. We chose not to be righteous. And instead of using that, using his power to his own advantage, crumbling up the earth, throwing it away and saying, this isn't worth it, he died on the cross for us. He came down, lived as a man, and said, they're worth it. And he died on the cross for you and for me. And if you don't know about that story or haven't talked about what it means to have Jesus as your Savior, you can come down front and talk to us at any time. We would love to talk to you about it. But he gave up his position and humbled himself to restore our relationship. Nothing about gossip follows that pattern. Nothing about using someone else's story to benefit you follows that pattern. And that's what Paul's highlighting in Philippians. Now, we have to sidebar for a second and talk about the difference between gossip and advice. First, if it's your story, you can tell it because it's yours. It's not gossip if you're telling your own story. So that's one. Two, gossip is adding your opinion to someone else's situation behind their back and or without them knowing. Gossip is adding your opinion to someone else's situation behind their back and or without them knowing. Very different from seeking advice on how what you should do in a situation, because advice deals with facts and your role in a situation, not trying to persuade someone else to do something or feel something that you feel is completely right for them. So that being said, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and it's couples that have a rule that they're not allowed to talk bad about themselves to other people. So when they have a problem, they can't go complain to somebody else. They have to go to the source. They have to go to each other. And the reason they have that rule is so that love doesn't leak. Because when we invite somebody into a relationship who doesn't deserve to be there, when love leaks, we're inviting someone who doesn't deserve an invite into that relationship. We tell someone else's story. Love supports people. Love protects people. Love doesn't tell someone else's story. And that protection comes in the form of humility, because when we share someone else's story, we care more about what their story offers us than supporting them through that story. So don't flood your friendships. Don't flood your relationships. Loving better means holding it in. It means protecting people's story, protecting people's lives, protecting who they are in who Jesus made them to be. Love looks at what Jesus did for us on the cross, what he did for us in selflessness, and asks, who can I do that for? Who can I set aside my selfishness for to get through their dark time? Because we were all in a dark time. We've been in dark times, and Jesus didn't turn his back on us. He came down, died on the cross for you and for me. He led by example. So we want to love better and not turn our backs on other people. We want to hold their story in. And after all, it's their story, it's not yours. It's their story, not yours. And when we tell someone else's story, we care more about what their story offers us than supporting them through it. Love doesn't leak. And every week, we take a moment to gather around the Lord's table. We grab the emblems from the seven tables around the room. The people online gather theirs at home. And we take what you'll find is bread and juice. We take the bread to remember the body that was broken for us on the cross. And we take the juice to remember the blood that was spilled on the cross for us. And Philippians 2 says that Christ humbled himself to be obedient to death, even death on a cross. And he did that so that we could have a restored relationship with God. And in a minute, we're going to stand up and go gather our emblems and come back to our seat. And we're going to take that moment of remembrance. And then after we take the bread and take the juice while we're kind of sitting and music's playing, I want you guys to ask yourself this question. Who can I do that for? Who can I set aside my selfishness for and support through a dark time? Who can I hold together? Who can I protect? Who needs love that bears all things? Who needs a love that doesn't leak? Let's go into that moment now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who came down and died on the cross for you and for me, for all of us. And as we go into this moment of communion, help us to remember how you didn't turn your back on us. When we broke that relationship, you provided another way. You provided a way through you. Help us as we go throughout our week to love better, to not leak in our relationships, and to hold everything together. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.